This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Hour number three, and this is Lock and Load. And joining us now, I hope from the secure portion of Arizona, is writer and instructor Dean Weingarten. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bill. I'm glad to be here. It's a bright spot in my day.
There you go. With everything that's been going on, I must confess, I haven't looked at Ammo Land once, to be honest with you. What is on your mind?
Well, I have, of course, been publishing articles on Ammo Land about the events of January 6th, and there are considerable theories on the edge of conspiracy, I would say, about how much of the events may have been, you know, triggered by agent provocateurs in the form of Antifa within the ranks of Trump protesters. And what I did not see personally, very much of what I thought might be that activity, very little, in fact. I mean, there were a few people that were fairly aggressive with the police, relatively. I mean, I didn't even see people throwing stuff at the police except from a distance. There were a few water bottles that I saw thrown, and I heard when someone, and I'm thinking it was probably just one person because there weren't that many, threw what appeared to be commercial-grade fireworks at police near the scaffolding on the mall side of the Capitol fairly early on. And this would have been, you know, roughly about 1:30, I'm thinking. Since I didn't take pictures of that, I don't have an exact time stamp. But I've looked at pictures I've taken before and after, and I put it at about that time. And these commercial-grade fireworks are a signature of what Antifa has done over on the left coast in Washington and, you know, Portland, Oregon, the Seattle area. So there were no agent provocateurs in the form of Antifa. But I don't think there were a lot of them. And there were a lot of patriots and Trump protesters that were frustrated and angry. And this looked to me, as far as I could tell, as a pretty spontaneous type of thing. Now, what is kind of suspicious is that the barriers to the Capitol were almost entirely psychological. I mean, any 10-year-old, as I said before, could defeat these barriers very easily. So either you believe that the Capitol Police did not think there would be any serious attempt to get close to the Capitol, or that they didn't believe Trump supporters would ignore or overcome a psychological barrier, or somebody left those barriers as those almost insignificant barriers deliberately on the thought they might provoke some sort of action. So I think those are our three views of what might have been done. But the barriers were really they weren't hardly in any way a significant physical barrier. It's like they say, you know, that locks or certain types of door latches are meant to keep honest people honest. Well, these barriers were meant to keep people who were unwilling, you know, to cross a line from crossing a line, but they had almost no physical significance in keeping people away from the Capitol, at any distance from the Capitol. And that was my first impression when I saw them, and that hasn't changed. So I don't believe that there was a significant organized attempt to push people up there. I just think there was sufficient frustration and anger in a small segment of the enormous crowd that was there. And there were only a couple hundred or so that got inside the Capitol. I mean, so when you have, half million or more people, you're going to get a variety of reactions. And a fair number of people were frustrated to the point they were certainly willing to ignore insignificant barriers.
Now, wasn't there sort of two groups going through there? I've seen pictures of the group that was going through there that were walking between the velvet ropes. And then I've seen the other people that were banging on doors and breaking windows and running around and scattered all of them.
Yeah. You see these videos from inside. And they generally show relatively small numbers of people. I don't think you see more than about 50 or 60 people in any one video. Now, where they are boisterous was where, the young woman, Alicia? Do you remember her name right off?
Ashley Babbitt.
Ashley, that's what I'm talking about. Ashley Babbitt. Where she was shot, it was a pretty boisterous crowd, and they were trying to break through a couple of double doors.
But they had cops with them.
Yeah, they had police with them, and you can see it. You can even hear it on some of the videos. One of the protesters goes up to one of the cops and says, "Look, we don't want to hurt you. We don't want to hurt you. Just there's more people coming all the time. If you just, get out of the way, we won't hurt you." And the police that are at the barricade, they move aside. And then there's more bashing on the windows and the doors with people who have sticks, flagpoles, and things like that. And it's pretty tough glass. It isn't like some of the glass I saw from on the outside that was broken very easily.
Right.
But they eventually, they're breaking out those, and they've bashed the glass enough, and it kind of holds together. I think it's probably kind of like automobile glass. I probably had some type of plastic inner film to give it toughness. But eventually it gets distorted out of the frame, and it looks like from the video's perspective, on the right-hand side, that one got taken out first, and then Ashley is trying to get through that window, and there's a whole bunch of chairs and stuff that are built as a barricade on the other side of those double doors to keep the doors closed.
Right.
And she's just starting to try to get through when she's shot. And that was by far, I would say, perhaps the most boisterous crowd I've seen inside the Capitol on any of the videos. So that exists. Were those mostly Antifa, or were they mostly Q supporters, or what? They weren't doing much that was particularly threatening, except breaking down the barrier and trying to get in. So that was, like I said, one of the worst, or most violent. They certainly were not trying to injure and damage the police officers that were there among them. They just weren't doing it. So, and then I just up on MLN today. It's just been published.
I tell you what, hang on right there. We're coming up on the break. This is a great place to hold up, and we'll see what you got to talk about that just got published. Dean, most of his work, the last 1,700-plus articles or so, you can find at amoland.com. Dean is the most well-read author or writer there, and Amoland is the biggest aggregator of news, which makes him the biggest writer. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At Bedford Camera and Video, we value freedom as much as our customers do. To this end, Bedford's is your one-stop shop for all of your camera or video needs. Our customer service is based on satisfying our customers with the latest equipment and a team of experts that will ensure you have all you want or need. Go to Bedfords.com. Preserving memories, recording technique, commemorating the victory or the hunt. Since 1974, this is Bedford Camera and Video. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. And we are speaking with Dean Weingarten, and he was about to tell us about something he just wrote. Tell me about it, please.
Okay, well, I've been, when I was at the Capitol, did not go inside, but as I was outside the Capitol, and it was a little after 3 o'clock, as I recall, there were some people that appeared to have come out of the Capitol and a pair of them was going to be interviewed by another reporter whose name I did not get, a woman. And so I got right up there, and I had my audio recorder out, and I joined the interview and listened to what these people had to say. Now, I cannot testify that they were in the Capitol, because I never saw them come out, and they were just there. But they said they had been in the Capitol. And so it was a very, very interesting account. And from their account, they were there. They were some of the original protesters that entered the Capitol. And what the individual who answered most of the questions, did most of the talking, said was that their original plan was just to protest there in front of the building, which actually was on the mall side, which most people would call the back. But that's where they were. They were on the mall side, but he's saying in front of the building on that side. And he said, but once the police decided to use tear gas and to shoot rubber bullets at the individuals who were protesting, they decided to act. And basically, en masse, the people that were there just rushed. The police stormed the building and got inside. And then once they were inside, he said, they shouted, "This is our house." And he said they were simply there to show the Congress that if they think, well, he said the individuals, if they think they can take our rights, we can take them back. We're American citizens and we'll fight for what is right. So there was no plan. They were just making a statement. Now, this is what he said, and he was claimed to have been one of the first inside. And
now,
he went on.
Can I ask you one question about that? Now, was that a consensus among the people that made it in there? We're just coming in here to make a statement. Was that the consensus,
or just
what these people said?
Well, it's only the thing I can say is that that is what I heard from this particular individual. His story was the first group in, which was, he was saying, about 40 people, that the consensus among them was they were there. They didn't have a plan to get in. They just wanted to make a statement. And he said that they basically went in, and they went through the building and came out on the front of the building, which is the east side. And when they came out on the east side, they let the people who were on the east side in to the building, and a bunch more people went in that way. And, of course, they were followed by a bunch of people on the west side where they originally went in that came in behind them. Then the next couple of people that I and they said very strongly that they did not condone any destruction inside the building, and that they did not destroy anything, and that they were relatively gentle with the people, the police that were in there. They had heard that Allie had, I'm saying Allie, it's not Allie, it's
Ashley.
Ashley. They had heard that Ashley, they didn't mention her by name, a woman had been shot. They're talking about Ashley, and they said, that should never have happened. Okay. Then I talked to two other people who said that they had been through. And it, from what they described, it sounded like they were in the group right behind this initial group. Because they said we were there, and then something happened. They didn't describe. They said there was some tear gas, but they didn't describe rubber bullets. And they were pushing in. They just pushed right on in, and they said that pushed people on. I'm pretty sure the context was they're pushing police to one side, and they didn't harm the police. In fact, they were fairly careful, trying to be sure that police were not harmed, and they described situations where they saw people who were attempting to do damage. Not a lot, it sounded like, but there were some, and that they actively stopped those people from doing damage. And they've talked about a situation where it was just outside the building, I'm presuming on the west side, that's what it sounded like, where someone was breaking some type of metal grating apart so that he could throw it at the police. And this one person who was one of the people that had gone through said that he went right up to him and said, no, you're not going to throw stuff. We're not going to let you throw stuff. We're not throwing stuff here, and stopped him from throwing things. Let's see. And so in that other group that appeared to be coming behind the initial ones, he said that they had seen somebody who was, I think the person who was throwing things was dressed all in black and had a black motorcycle helmet on, and he believed that person was Antifa. You know, I don't think he checked him for his Antifa membership card, you know, to see if it was up to date or whatever. But because of the way he was dressed, he thought he was Antifa. And let's see, anything else? The people from that group said that they hadn't seen any guns drawn, and they didn't believe there was anybody who had drawn guns inside, but that was their, you know, just their, what they had seen. You only have a couple people. It's a, you know, it's a chaotic situation, but it seemed pretty clear that the people who I interviewed, which were like four, and there were a couple people that chimed in. There were a lot of people around. It was hard to keep track exactly who was saying what. You know, you've got a kind of chaotic situation. You're surrounded in a crowd. There's a couple of people in front of you. Somebody behind you says something. Even so, you know, I didn't video it or have pictures, so, you know, I'm trying to figure out exactly which person said exactly. Once you go by the voices, and that's about all you can do. But those people, anyway, were clear that they did not intend to do any damage. They weren't trying to take over the Capitol. They
Hang
were
on
trying
for
to
me.
Send a message.
Hang on for me. We'll reconvene with this. They certainly did. It just got read the wrong way, I guess. But we're talking to Dean Weingarten. You can find most of his stuff, well over 1,700 articles, at amaland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word Lock and Load at franklinarmory.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Impeachment is an itch that doesn't go away with just one scratch.
Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz speaking on the House floor. President Donald Trump is the first president in history to be impeached twice by the U.S. House. The final vote was 232 to 197. 10 Republicans joining Democrats in approving of the latest impeachment against the president. One of those Republicans, Congressman Liz Cheney, is facing calls to be kicked out of her position as the number three Republican in the House after she voted for impeaching the president. A poll just out from the McLaughlin Group shows that 60% of voters in battleground states viewed Democrats impeaching President Trump a second time as a waste of time. The poll saying lawmakers should be focused on COVID relief and not impeaching President Trump. This is USA Radio News. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate won't meet early to accept articles of impeachment against President Trump. Now, regarding if the Senate will impeach President Trump, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie tells ABC's Good Morning America it's anyone's guess.
Given what I've heard so far, I think it's unlikely, but it's possible. You know, there's certainly a lot of discontent, as was mentioned earlier in your report, in the Republican Party, and a lot of upset over the conduct that's happened over the last 9 weeks, really. We're now talking about since Election Day. And so, I'm going to put it this way. I wouldn't bet it one way or the other, but if you asked me to make a prediction, I would say it's less likely than likely.
Stocks holding steady on Wall Street at the closing bell, the Dow falling 8 points to end the day at 3160, the S&P gaining 9 to close at 3810, the NASDAQ rose 57. USA Radio News.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Is Lock and Load. And we're speaking with Dean Weingarten, who was there on the ground on January the 6th, and as we're looking back at it, now they've impeached the president again. Now, were you there for the speech?
I could not hear the speech. I was at the Washington Monument trying to get a little higher ground to... When the speech occurred or started at the Ellipse, that's where President. There were several speakers before him, and then he was there. But the acoustics and the audio was so terrible, I could barely hear that somebody was speaking. I could not make out what was being said at all. So I started moving down toward the Capitol. Based on instinct, because I thought that's where more interesting action might happen, and I knew that the crowd was going to be moving down there. I wanted to get there ahead of them. On the way down, I heard some fragmentary remarks from President Trump from people who were streaming the speech on their phones and then piping the phone into little speakers. You know, about the size of a radio speaker. I mean, a small thing, maybe 3-4 inches across. And I said, why didn't they have these up on the Ellipse, you know, bigger ones, so that we could hear what was going on?
Right.
Because it was so frustrating, I just couldn't hear what was being said. You knew something was being said, but you couldn't understand. I couldn't understand it anyway. So I heard some fragments of the president's speech as I moved down the mall toward the Capitol. As I moved down there, I almost kind of got caught. I wouldn't say caught up, but I intersected sort of an organized group of people who called themselves. I was told they were Proud Boys by somebody who was in the group. You know, they don't wear badges, and they, you know, they don't have a super distinctive uniform. But they said that, at least one said they were Proud Boys, and other people said they were Proud Boys. And it was a fairly organized group, and it looked to me, you know, I'd have to do the math, but I think it maybe 300, 400 people. And in a pretty tight, tight group. And they were marching, well, not exactly marching, they were walking in this fairly tight formation down the mall toward the Capitol. And I was moving, you know, roughly about as fast as they were, because they'd stop every now and then, and I'd stop every now and then and take a picture or try to see what was going on or understand it. And so we kind of stuck with each other most of the way down to the Capitol. And then they veered off to the north around the Capitol, and I went off to the right around the Capitol. And that's the last of them that I saw as an organized group that I could make out. So that's how I moved down toward the Capitol. Now, when I got there, there were virtually no one on the west side of the Capitol. I mean, there were a few people. There's always going to be a few around. And there were Capitol policemen. So I have policemen, and the barriers to the Capitol were probably, see, you know, I'll have to get a map and do measurements, but I think they were probably about 300, 400 yards away from the Capitol, down near the Ulysses S. Grant monument. There's an equestrian monument there, and it's just a little ways from a fence before this big open lawn type thing on the west side of the Capitol. That's probably about maybe almost a quarter of a mile from there up to the Capitol. And it was at that place where the first barriers were to prevent people from approaching the Capitol. And when I looked at that when I first came up, I said, wow, that is a long ways from the Capitol. Now, maybe I'll measure it and it only turn out to be 300 yards. But that I would say that is in that neighborhood. And the barriers there they're just flimsy. I mentioned it before, but they had a standalone bit of fence that I'll have pictures of them, about 3 foot tall, made up of fairly light piping that's all welded together, and it's just got little legs on the bottom, and it's just standalone.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yes.
Because, like when I was talking about him being impeached, supposedly he incited something, right, with his speech, which, according, it sort of sounds like a lot of people probably didn't hear that speech. That's item number one. Item number two, how was it that you guys knew to move towards the Capitol? Because my understanding was that there was not a lot of organization there.
No, there wasn't. And it was apparent. It was just obvious to me there was almost no organization. I think at the end of the speech, he said to move toward the Capitol. And it was my understanding that he was going to speak up near the ellipse, and then people were going to move down toward the Capitol. That was my understanding when I went there. I never heard anybody say, go down to the Capitol. I just assumed that they were going to go down to the Capitol after, at some point when they finished the speechifying up at the Washington, near the Washington Monument on the ellipse there. So I never heard anybody say, go to the Capitol. But however, on the east side of the Capitol, there were two groups that had permits for some kind of mass gathering, and they were much, much smaller, you know, 1,000 people or less each in that neighborhood, maybe a couple thousand people on that side. And there were these metal barriers. I wouldn't call them barricades, really, because they're so small. I mean, you could pick up one end of them easily with one hand. They were not attached to each other. You just picked up an end and moved it, and you were in, and it was like open. And then there was a secondary barrier, which was made of dark green plastic mesh. And it was attached to steel fence posts, such as you drive in to make a fence on a farm or whatever. But it was only attached to those fence posts by a little plastic tie. And literally, if you put your, I saw people do this, you just put your weight on that mesh with either a foot or a hand and push down and you break the plastic tie. And I've got some good pictures of that. But so the barriers were almost entirely psychological. And when you have virtually no organization and virtually no leadership, it's easy to break that sort of barrier, that psychological barrier. It just takes a couple of people to do it, and then other people see what's going on, and that breaks the barrier. And then, you know, more and more people get through it, and then you have a flood of people going through it, following the leader, so to speak. I thought when I was there that if there was anybody who just had a smidgen of communication and organization, they could direct that crowd to do a lot of different things. But I never saw anybody that had the organization and communication to do that. It really appeared to be chaotic, almost not quite random, but, you know, people were attracted to the Capitol because that's where people were going. It's kind of where they knew they were going. And the Capitol is huge, has huge symbolic importance. Now, a decade ago, in 2011, a bunch of protesters in Madison, Wisconsin, took over the state capitol there. And at the time, a left-wing publication published this, and I'm going to read it verbatim. It says, "The impulse to enter came from the immense symbolism of the capitol itself. There was an intense compulsion, sometimes even below the level of rational reflection, to
hang on right there.
Inside self-government."
Hang on right there, and we'll finish this up on the other side. This is getting sort of interesting. For those of you that like what we talk about, Dean writes about this, and his stuff shows up on Amaland.com exclusively at the moment, with well over 1,700 different articles there waiting on you right now. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Last time on the firing line. Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten. He's been describing... yes, sir, please do.
This quote from a left-wing writer in Isthmus.com in Madison, Wisconsin, describing about when left-wing protesters, rather... much more boisterous crowds, I would say, than we saw at the Capitol, take over the Wisconsin state capitol in 2011. And I'll finish up the quote. It said, taking possession of that house, of the people, even if only temporarily and symbolically, was a way of trying to make the ideal of self-government real. Now, that's what left-wing writers said in a decade ago when boisterous crowds took over the Wisconsin state capitol. But, of course, now they're saying that you have a rather similar situation in boisterous groups taking over the federal capitol and its insurrection. Well, it was an insurrection. It wasn't even close to insurrection. There wasn't any plan. There was no long-term plan. There was no organization. It was, I believe there probably were a few Antifa-type instigators in the group.
I mean, can I ask you a question about just the term? Yeah. Normally, in insurrection, would there be some bloodshed beyond what we saw?
Exactly. I mean, this is much closer to, you know, this sort of classical idea of a organic rising up against the system, and there was no plan, there was no organization. Nobody had an idea. As the person that I interviewed said, they didn't plan to take over the Capitol, but they were there and they were somewhat angered by what the police were doing, and they just rushed the Capitol and they went in. Now, I think there were some people, a fair number of them, you know, maybe a couple hundred, that really wanted to get in the Capitol. And probably some of those were up right there in the front. But I don't think they had a plan after that. They just didn't. There was no plan. Because as soon as they got in, everything kind of fell apart. And very quickly, they left. So they were trying to make a point, a symbolic movement, saying, you won't listen to us. You aren't listening to us. There's more of us than there are of you. Listen to us. You know, democracy depends on the majority essentially getting their way. And you're not listening. That's That was the real impression I got. And it's been very cleverly, I must say, twisted into we have to shut down free speech, we have to shut down free movement of anybody who was a protester up there because a few people got a little boisterous and got into the Capitol. And I don't think it's going to work. I've been somewhat pessimistic a little bit when I've seen the scale at which the tech oligarchs are willing to go to shut down any dissent in this country. But I don't
think
did you
see what Twitter did?
Well, I saw some of the things. Tell me more.
Twitter is out there right now calling for freedom of speech and everything else in the Ugandan election.
Yeah.
Because Uganda got out there and looked and saw what they had been doing, and they said, if you're going to stifle freedom of speech, we're going to not allow you to operate inside our country. And that's they put out a series of tweets demanding that the freedom of speech not be abridged. They're completely for that, especially the people should have the freedom to express their ideas, especially during an election.
Yeah, as long as it's Twitter that gets to decide who gets to put out information or not, they're all for it.
Something like that.
What I have seen on the left generally. As long as you agree with us, you can talk all you want. That's their idea of freedom of speech. As long as you say what we want you to say, you're perfectly free to say it. But if you disagree with us, we'll shut you down right away. As long as the left controlled most of the media, they were perfectly happy with freedom of speech. But when conservatives started getting a little bit of media, then freedom of speech became very problematic.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been seeing some of the stuff that's... Have you seen some of the stuff coming out of there where they're like... They try to put out there that talk radios, they're trying to stifle talk radio and all this other stuff.
I've seen that, but I've seen mixed on that. You are much more familiar with that territory. Maybe you can tell me what's going on.
Well, it's all misdirection. It's not even actually happening. They said Cumulus did something, and Cumulus, when you talk to the host at Cumulus, they're like, no, they didn't.
Ah, they're very good. I'm glad to hear that, because talk radio is one of the avenues we have yet to get information out.
Yep.
And I listened to some other talk radio today, and it lifted my spirits because, you know, I realized they were not yet shut down. And I'm glad to hear that Cumulus isn't saying we're going to take down anybody who expresses a thought we disagree with.
Well, I mean, that would be sort of disastrous to their bottom line.
It would be. I agree, but some of these people don't seem to care.
Well, Twitter doesn't.
What?
Twitter certainly does not. They're losing capital.
Right.
They're losing market cap.
A amount of value. And I am looking into, I haven't become sophisticated at it enough yet, but I'm seriously considering getting a Gab account. And they're gaining hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people are flocking over to there because their whole premise is based on owning everything, all the servers, all the backbone, everything they need so that people cannot arbitrarily shut them down.
They are where Parler should have been.
Yeah.
Parler did not maneuver themselves into the place they went to. I think Parler got noticed because Trump went there first. I think they went after them, but I mean, Gab has been having a lot of fun with Twitter because they're out there. Somebody got out there and said, so one of the leftists is like, so who owns the servers that Gab is on? Maybe we should go shut those down too. And Gab came back and said, we do, communists. Tough luck.
Yeah. I saw an interview with the guy who founded Gab and who's been building it up. And I mean, it seems almost providential. He said 5 years ago he got kicked out of Silicon Valley for being a conservative. And he said, this can't work. And so everywhere he went, they said, build your own. So he did. And they're in a position now where they have built enough infrastructure that they can expand very rapidly, and they're doing it. The system is a little slow right now, I understand, because so many people are flocking to it. When you're undergoing that kind of growth, it's hard to keep up. But another thing that I came across is they have a search engine, I think it's called Dissident, which is based on Brave, which is open source software. And I've seen a couple of people who said they were using it and were just flabbergasted about how much faster it was than using Google, because it doesn't have all these things in it that are basically taking down all your information and cataloging it and doing all that all the time. And they said it, you know, I look forward to trying it out. Can't say I've put it on my machines yet, but it sounds like an alternative that is out there. And the person, and I don't have his name at the tip of my tongue, who basically put Gab together says, yeah, we built this out so we can take down Silicon Valley. So there's an alternative so that Silicon Valley will not control all our thoughts, all our commerce, all our information. He says it's built from the ground up to prevent that.
The whole thing behind this, though, before with Operation Choke Point and some other things, there was never a big enough groundswell.
Right.
When people are not affected personally, they'll look at something and say, what an outrage. Now, what we got going on today? And then when it finally makes its way around to them, that's when they begin to take action. And this is actually a very, I keep calling this a gross miscalculation. I think it's just expanding and expanding. But we're about to run out of time, so will you be with me Friday?
I intend to be.
Very good, sir.
And it's always a pleasure to be on. And it's felt very good to be on today and talk about things that we can end up in a better place out of this.
Well, yeah, it might be a bumpy ride, but we'll make the drive. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Thank you.
Back again in 21 hours, and between now and then, remember this, it has never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Like a piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
The last year was a brutal wake-up call and proved why you should always prepare far in advance for any emergency life throws at you. This year, the smartest move is to stockpile long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts up to 25 years in storage, ready to eat the moment you need it. Listen, failure to plan means planning for failure. Why wait for another crisis when you can easily and affordably have a 3-month, 6-month, even 1-year supply of food on hand? We're My Patriot Supply, the nation's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of customers for over a decade with tens of thousands of 5-star reviews. Our mission is your survival. So try our foods. They're delicious and provide 2,000 calories a day. Plus, our food kits will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in as little as 2 days. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.